a few months ago on Small Change, we met some of the team from Second Chances SA, which is a not-for-profit volunteer organisation which provides help and support to people leaving prison, their families and children. CEO Helen Glanville joins us again with Liam Sullivan, who is the manager for the Furniture Warehouse, to discuss the assistance furniture packages they provide to those experiencing hardship. Welcome, guys.
Hi, thank you.
So last time we talked a little bit more broadly about Second Chances. Tonight we're going to talk particularly about the furniture part of the business. But while we were off air, we were just chatting about the idea of social enterprise and Second Chances. So maybe for listeners that didn't hear, have you got the potted Second Chances in, you know, 30 seconds, what the organisation's about? And then let's talk about this idea of social enterprise and how things like the furniture business might in fact be helping other people and generating other kind of outcomes.
Well, the potted version of describing Second Chances SA is we're in the business of giving people second chances, mostly to those who are affected by the criminal justice system, and also including their whole family. So we're interested in people on that side of the fence and this side of the fence, because there's a domino effect in the community, particularly for PKs, prisoners' kids. So we have a whole raft of programs particularly for them, and we're interested in restoring hope and their dignity, because in addition to having a father or mother in prison, they have an added stigma that, you know, goes with it. So the last thing they need is to be wearing tatty school uniforms and shoes. So we buy brand new school uniforms and shoes to restore their dignity and help them to overcome the whole position of being targeted and bullied at school.
Because one of the issues presumably is if you lose a parent to prison, you actually lose the income that might have been coming into the family home that came from that parent. Now, not in all instances, but I imagine in a fair number of instances, it does leave families struggling to get by.
Invariably, it leaves single mums struggling to make ends meet. And so in that is a whole raft of things. They could, in fact, be losing the home. They might have to relocate. They might be needing some advocation, you know, people to advocate for them for new premises because they can't afford the current home. The accommodation is really critical. And then it's the children. So we like to come alongside the families through home visits. So our staff go to visit and see for themselves the situation. So we don't have any qualms about that. We're not the government. So we like to go in and be the friend of the family. But it all starts by empowering the prisoner. So the mother or the father in prison actually requests us on their behalf to do a home visit or to provide a birthday present, and later in the year, a Christmas present. So that's the beginning of a paper trail of us being, you know, requested to go and then make the visit. And once the doors are opened and a relationship begins, then we can see, well, what other wraparound things we can do. And it's in that process that we see, oh, I think they need a new dining suite or some more bedding, or grandma's whole life's been turned upside down and she needs a couple of double bunks to bring order to her life for the four grandsons she's just taken on board. So this is where the furniture warehouse comes in. And so the packages of furniture provided are not just for ex-prisoners and their families. It's for anyone in need who needs a package because they're in a situation that they can't afford $6,000 to $10,000 worth of new furniture. So that's why we have these packages made available by wonderful donors of their downsizing leftovers.
So when did this business, or when did this part of the organisation emerge? Some time ago now, as I recall.
Yeah, last October we celebrated 10 years of our op shop. And the op shop's down in Sturt on Diagonal Road, and we started out with one shop and then two shops. And then we thought, people need furniture, let's go for a third shop. Then we realised, well, that's not going to cut it. We're going to need a warehouse. So we started at Lonsdale, then to St Mary's, but 2 years ago we're now on Richmond Road, Richmond.
And the outlets, if you like, for the furniture business, all staffed by volunteers?
Yes, including our manager, Liam.
So we've got Liam in the studio with us tonight. So Liam, welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to have you in here. Now, how did you get involved? What led you to volunteer to help?
I was brought in by somebody I'd met regarding actually making a movie. They were trying to get more in-prison volunteers at the time, and they wanted to create this movie DVD, and I got involved with him in that. And moving on from that, I volunteered one day a week at the warehouse, which was around the corner where I was living at the time, and it's just grown from there over the last 4.5 years.
Yeah. So, and these days you manage the warehouse business.
Yeah, I got dumped into that one some many years ago, and still there, I guess.
Well, you obviously enjoy it at least a little bit. What's the best part of that job?
It really keeps the brain going. It keeps, you know, you're thinking on your feet a lot of the time, because, you know, we are limited in space, and we are very lucky with the donors that we do have. The guys go out on the truck and they can do 5 or 6 collections a day every day, and our truck's booked up for 2.5 weeks in advance doing this. And we bring the stuff back and we unload it and we look at it and we look in the warehouse, and then we start the game of Tetris, and we move furniture around and we stack it and pack it and try to work out where things can go. But we also want to make it look nice, so if customers come in, it's appealing and they will obviously spend the money on it, because it's all about raising money to go into the program for the kids, which is why we do it.
Mm-hmm. So how many packages a day do you think you're shifting through the business these days?
Over the last 3 years was the last count for this this latest 3 years on promotion. We did 456 over the last 3 years, which is basically one a week. And it's still growing. We delivered 2 today, for instance. We've got 2 yesterday, 1 today, 1 on Thursday. So that's this week's. And I wrote another 4 invoices up today for new packages to go through the funding body system, so somebody to fund them.
And where do you get your goods from? Where do the donated goods come from?
Generally, just from the public. We get phone calls about people who are downsizing or deceased estates or moving into nursing homes, and they have some good quality furniture they want to pass on. And rather than go to council tips or just on the side of the street, they want to give it a second chance, if you like. And, they give us a call and we book them in and arrange a time, and we send the boys out in the truck to go and get it.
It sounds like a good deal in terms of the for the person who's looking to actually reuse or see their property actually going to a good cause after the event. Have you got any rules about the type of things that you'll accept?
Yeah, obviously, you know, the better it is, the better it is for the people of getting it. So a rule of thumb for the guys out on the trucks is, you know, would they buy it? Would it go into their house? We're not the council pickup service. Some people, unfortunately, do look at charities as that, and they just want to get rid of their stuff. And I've had some really weird comments on the phone when I've said no to things, but we actually won't go into quotes. So, good condition. We take white goods, lounges, dining tables, wall units, anything really.
Are you worried about electrical items?
No, we've actually got 2 of our volunteers who are trained. We've sent away to be trained to be tag and testers, so we have the equipment to do that. So all the electrical is tested and tagged, and fridges, white goods are run for a couple of days and make sure they get to temperature and all that sort of thing. Washing machines, we put 3 or 4 loads through them out the back of the warehouse just to make sure they work. Yeah, there's not a warranty. We don't have refrigeration engineers or washing machine engineers. We do the best we can. We don't repair furniture. Again, we haven't got the skills. We've got people who try, and they're very happy to come in, and they'll sand down and re-varnish, or they're paint and distress to make something look different. But they don't actually repair things or reupholster and any of that sort of stuff.
Mm. But if there's a men's shed out there that's like to volunteer to help repair, we'd be very interested to have a conversation. But one of the factors that really decides whether we're interested in providing a pickup service to the donor is by using photographs. So we will say, would you please send photographs to this mobile phone number or to this email address, and that actually can be the deal breaker.
Yeah, because it's these days, if you do have access to those technologies, it's a really convenient way to get a quick look at the quality of or the appearance of furniture.
And saves that, fuel and time.
It is. It's fascinating to me. And this is far from the only circumstance. I often talk with people who work with St. Vinny's or other services where they accept secondhand goods as a way of both recycling but also as a way of generating income sometimes for their organisations. And they too would often be surprised at the view that some members of the public take. Now, most, 95% of people would only think about wanting to pass on goods that were of a very high quality, but there clearly are a group of people who just naively or have never really thought about it, who think that, junk is okay and that it's okay and reasonable that anybody should have access to these things, and if they don't have anything, maybe they'll be happy with some junk.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing you get is, well, they've got nothing, they should be happy. Not quite the attitude of why we do this, but...
But the other good thing to know is that any member of the public can pop down to our furniture warehouse 6 days a week and they can purchase any item there for themselves. We have what we call a showroom. And the team there that Liam manages takes great pride in presentation. You might even think you've just walked into Harvey Norman because the beds are made up and the bears are on there and the pillows are all fluffed up and everything, and the dining room table is set. So it's beautiful. It really is a great privilege to see the pride and joy that they take in the presentation. And we would probably gloat that we believe we have the cheapest and the best secondhand furniture in Adelaide, and we aim to keep it that way. So when we provide for those people who've just been allocated a home through another agency, we can make arrangements for, say, a $300 package. That's the bedrooms, the lounge room, the dining room, everything that's needed for sleeping, with a mattress for several, mum, dad and the kids, those in need. And then even if they can't pay that $300 up front, then we have an arrangement with CenterPay. So they can come to an arrangement whether it's a fortnightly payment automatically deducted by CenterPay from their Centrelink payments. Now that's very... it's an arrangement that works. And so there are 24 agencies that they don't muck around with furniture, but they like to refer their clients to us. And or when Liam mentioned invoice, he will invoice that charity or that other agency. And so we've grown. And so to think that the other agencies are looking to us to help them with their clients, it's a combined effort. So we're very thrilled to be able to do this.
Now, you're listening to the voice of just then was Helen Glanville and Liam Sullivan, both from Second Chances SA, who have joined us in studio tonight. So the volunteers, who are the volunteers that end up coming and working at Second Chances?
There's a mixed bag. We have some people who just want to volunteer and we're handy and close by. We have we work for the Dole accredited organisation, so we have people coming through that system, and we have a contract with a job network provider to get so many people in for a period of time under these contracts. So we do training for those in retail and customer service and telephone skills and that sort of thing. And we have just, whatever we can get in a way, but they've got to fit into the culture, and that's how it works. So there's a broad range of people who come.
And in terms of fitting into culture, how would you describe the culture at Second Chances?
We try and have fun. And what we generally say in when we interview possible new volunteers, if you're not going to have fun here, then we prefer you not to come and spoil our fun, because we do get on. We might joke and laugh or shout and scream at each other occasionally, but we get on, and that's how we want to keep it. We don't want the hassles when you're working that closely, and you know, none of you are getting paid. It's all volunteering. We don't want somebody who comes because they've been told they have to. We want them to actually come in and enjoy themselves.
It's one of the very major challenges of some of those programs where people are being sent to fulfil working obligations of some sort or another, isn't it?
Well, we, through Liam, we interview them, and if they don't have the right attitude, we don't let them in the door. I might add that we're just slightly different to some other NGOs by saying that we do not require a police check. And the reason for that is we have our ways and means of finding out what we need to know on a need-to-know basis. We're in the business of second chances. The reality is that there are people who need that second chance, and they come from the prison. The pre-release centre actually has selected a few people. We interview them. We don't have to accept them. But if they are a fit, if they're trying hard, they want a second chance to work and give back to the community. That's what we're looking for. And I have to say that I'm extremely proud of the guys on the truck. And second chances is about, we do not ask about your past. If you're a new volunteer and you come and volunteer, it's taboo to say, you know, where have you been, or what have you been inside, what was your, you know, we're not into that. We're into the future and tomorrow. We're not in, so we're a little bit different in that sense. We've actually had that scratched out of our contracts with Work for the Dole, because we want everyone to have an opportunity. If they want to work, no matter what they've done, no matter what their past may have been, and they are contributing to the team, we put a value on their time and their contribution. But we go another step further. If you become a volunteer with us, we'll give you morning tea, lunch, afternoon tea, we'll deck you out with a T-shirt, we'll give you a name badge, we'll give you work boots if you need them. And if you're any good on driving, you can get to drive our truck.
Sounds like a deal, at least for some people. And indeed, I think the thing you point to is the opportunity, isn't it, to be able to actually just reintegrate, to also be seen as making a contribution back into community. Because for all that, a lot of those little people that we talked about at the beginning of the show will carry a level of stigma. Anybody that's leaving the prison system carries an even bigger level of stigma attached to them. So those are real opportunities. So we've been chatting tonight to Helen Glanville and Liam Sullivan. Thank you guys for coming into the studio. I think you've got one big request, though. You're starting to get a bit crunched and you're running out of space. So one of the things we were talking about before we came on air was the fact that it would be fantastic if you had another warehouse capacity.
Yeah, things go in waves with what you get and what we don't get. But at the moment, yeah, we're stacking dining tables four high and lounges turned over on top of each other. We've hit the limits of what we can afford to pay rent for at the moment. So, yeah, if anybody has a warehouse or extra facilities that they'd like to donate for us to use while it's sitting empty, we'd love to talk to them.
So we'll put up your details with the podcast after the show, and of course anybody can find you on the web, probably.
Come on down, Ross. You haven't been yet.
I haven't been for a visit.
We're going to take you on a tour of your life to 131 Richmond Road, Richmond.
Yeah, it's on Facebook and Instagram.
It's on. I'm in, Lisa. I'm in.
Well, thank you again, guys, for coming on the program.
Our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Stay tuned. We've got more coming up on Small Change after this.